my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris Phelps, and my co-host and very good friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hi there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to look at this week?
So, Dave, we're going back to 1997, and it is the Mike Myers starring spy movie spoof, Austin Powers, Man of Mystery. So,
International Dave, Man of Mystery, I'll have
International
you know.
Man of Mystery, well, that's debatable. But anyway, Dave, where do you first remember about this film?
Well, I think the very first exposure to it was through trailers, and this one was like I say, it's 97, so I was up in Preston. I was a student at this time, was working at Blockbusters at the time, but to watch it first I had to go and see this at the cinema, and from watching that initial trailer I just thought, oh yeah, this is a bit of me. A bit like yourself, Chris, you know, we've grown up with James Bond movies, you know, whether it's Sean Connery or Roger Moore. And I say about growing up, I know Timothy Dalton came in and what have you, but I think for me that those earlier movies, Roger Moore was always my favourite. I just loved the kind of cheekiness, the humour to it, and I just thought it was brilliant. And when I saw the trailer for this and then went to see the movie at the cinema, I just thought it was fantastic at just how well it parodied all of the things from the James Bond world. And I just thought it was the biggest in-joke you're ever likely to see. And just from that moment, just absolutely loved it. There were a couple of sequels, which we might get to one day. But for me, the original is the classic. And it was so iconic at the time and spawned lots and lots of people dressing up as Austin Powers and, you know, lots of people quoting the various sound bites and what have you. So I think for a late 90s comedy, I just thought this was absolutely fantastic. Now, Chris, what about yourself?
Well, honestly, I think first time round, absolutely enjoyed it. I had it on video. It was something different. I was a big fan of, like, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Mission Impossible, Get Smart, which was a bit of a spoof for them anyway. So it's always the original 60s stuff. Love that. I love, like, Randall and Hopkirk, all these things that were on BBC Two, like, around when Fresh Prince was on. And they used to have stuff, you know, even the old Star Treks now and again, if I really had to, I'd watch them on a Monday night.
Sorry to cut across you. Was Randall and Hopkirk, that was the deceased one, wasn't it? That was
I
only vaguely remember that one, but
I watched loads of that.
And get smart, I think, was that the one where they had the cone of silence? remember that.
The guy was the guy who voiced Inspector Gadget as well, the guy who's in Get Smart. So I always remember his voice. But I loved all them sort of movies, them TV shows. Really, 1 hour, you know, we had Robert Vaughn and that in A Man from U.N.C.L.E. and stuff. I absolutely loved them sort of things. So when this came out, it was somewhat different. As you know, I'm a massive James Bond fan. We're recording this as the final Daniel Craig James Bond is about to come out. I cannot wait. I'm absolutely looking forward to that movie. So this was right up my street. It was somewhat silly. Mike Myers, I loved him in Wayne's World. I know he's a scouser, Dave, which doesn't help the situation. But, you know, he was quite, around this time when this came out, Wayne's World did anyway with the whole Bohemian Rhapsody, but this just accelerated him. So he was, you know, starring for a good few years. Like I say, Austin Powers, he'd pop up at an award ceremony. I've seen my friends dress as him loads of times, like you said, fancy dress. You know, he was supposed to be Halloween, people dressed up as Austin Powers and that, really daft character. Dr. Evil as well gets more, you know, the old $1 million, you know, the old finger and mini me and everything. So these loads
I'm hip.
Of
I'm cool.
Yes, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
We know that one, don't we, Chris?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And the yeah, baby, because I always say to people, baby, I always take the piss and go, yeah, baby. You know, and I never realized that it was from this movie. And that's exactly where I've got it from. But yeah, the first time round, absolutely adored the movie. And Elizabeth Hurley was just fucking fit anyway, Dave. She's stunning. She still is stunning now. I mean, word. I think she's got even
that
better.
Dress.
She's got older.
That dress. If you're talking about iconic pictures from the 90s, Liz Hurley in that dress has probably got to be in top five, I would say.
Oh, easy, easy. And then that Bella and Hugh Grant just fucked his relationship with her, Dave. Let's say no
another
more.
Iconic. Iconic image, that one. I can see it in my mind's eye now. Now that you're saying holding that little thing up to have his prison.
Remember, Dave? I'm just resting myself. I was just consoling the girl in my lap. Of course you were. Of course you were, Hugh. Fucking snozzy
word.
Old.
I've forgotten about that.
The child catcher, Dave. Oh, cheeky, bang, bang. But anyway, so I didn't watch this at the cinema, but I pretty much rented it straight away when it became available from Blockbusters. And like I say, I think for this movie, this is one of the ones that we've done in all our reviews where it's a proper pop culture references. People of our age, Dave, or like early 30s as well, maybe even the 10-year swing the other way, they will remember Austin Powers for what it is, just so much stupid. And I think out of all the characters, Austin, I like to say, Dr. Evil's the one I think everybody remembers, because Dr. Evil is a meme in itself. You go on that meme thing and there's thousands of Dr. Evil ones. So, yeah, it is a massive, massive movie from the 90s, this one, Dave.
Yeah. And just to clarify, old Mike Myers, unlike Kim Cattrall, he was actually born in Canada. It was his parents who were from Liverpool, but... I mean, Kim Cattrall was born over here, wasn't she? And then moved to Canada. But,
I never met her, Dave. But there you go.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sadly not. Now, Chris, should we get into the trailer?
Let's go.
In 1967, an international secret agent was cryogenically frozen in case the world ever required his services again. Now, evil is threatening the Earth. And the time has come to bring him back into the 90s.
It's not unusual.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Danger Powers Personal Effects.
Actually, my name is Austin Powers. Danger's my middle name.
I'm going to need you to sign these release forms.
Okay, name. Sex? Yes, please.
In his time, he was the coolest secret agent alive. Unfortunately...
It's freedom, baby, yeah!
This is not his time. Secret. He's a swinger in a square world.
A lot's changed since 1967.
Bring on the sexy stews, man! Yeah!
We're called flight attendants now.
And he's a stranger in a strange land.
My mother, Mrs. Exposition.
Lovely.
Austin!
What have you done?
That's not your mother, it's a man, baby!
No. Why won't this wig come off? Well, now you shake it to the left, you shake it to the right. Ah. You're doing a hippie shake. Gino, Gino,
ow! That really hurt. Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Mike Myers.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Elizabeth Hurley.
Don't forget these.
Oh, thanks.
Austin Powers. International man of mystery.
Oh, I don't want him to have fun, Austin. That's you in a nutshell.
No, this is me in a nutshell. Help! I'm in a nutshell.
In 1967, British spy Austin Powers thwarts an assassination attempt by his nemesis, Dr. Evil, in a London nightclub. Dr. Evil escapes to space in a rocket and is cryogenically frozen. Powers volunteers to be placed into cryostasis himself, just in case Dr. Evil returns in the future. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this one?
Well, Dave, I watched this for the first time in 20 years, maybe 20 years or so. Like I said, did have it on VHS. I think this film is fucking rubbish, Dave.
Oh,
I know I'm going to say it. This movie is fucking shit, Dave. For me, it's aged terribly. I don't find any of it funny. Dr. Evil's the only one who I find fairly amusing. I hated every minute of this time, Dave. I'm sorry. I remember I did enjoy it when I was younger. I really did. I must be just getting old and grumpy, but it just did nothing for me. The whole fucking Grease dance power ballad bollocks. I know it's all set up. The jokes. I've got to be honest, Dave. I couldn't watch it in one sitting. It was not... You're going to hate me after this, but I know that some of the fucking martial arts movies I've reviewed higher than this.
No, let's have it right. You put fucking Cannonball Run 2 to Cloud City last week, and even Glyn said he shit over it all the episode and then sent it to Cloud City and had that gif of like, I fucking give up. Your non-linear scoring thing is just, well, it leaves me perplexed and confused. I have no idea what you're going to come into this with. And clearly some of the listeners do as well.
Oh, Dave. And someone else would put, like, just when you think you've got Chris Phelps pegged, he fucking does this. He's like, he is one unique motherfucker. But there you go. But no, honestly, and I'm sorry, Dex, I know you love this movie. I absolutely hated it this time. I just didn't find any of the jokes hit. Even Liz Hurley, you know, she's so beautiful. I didn't enjoy any of it. It was only the Dr. Evil bits where he's sort of being told, because it's 30 years in front and you've got... amount of heart to heart in there, aren't you? What's he called? What's his name?
Number two. I don't know what his actual...
It's Robert Wagner. Robert Wagner.
Wagner, yeah, yeah. Wagner, that's yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Dave, I'm sorry to start in a negative. What about yourself?
Well, Chris, I think you're crazy. I've not watched this for, I would say, somewhere between 10 to 15 years. I'd forgotten enough of it. Some of the silly little jokes, but as soon as it started, as soon as the scene was unfolding, I could remember everything. But going into it, I couldn't tell you like what the next scene was. And obviously, like you say, starts off with that iconic music and the dance, all set in the 60s, very, very campy. And the first bit for me that had me cracking up was where they're in the club and he's dancing away with his partner in crime there, whatever her name is, Liz Hurley's mum, Miss Kensington.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot what her first name is. But anyway, and then the waitress is like looking to take his order, and then he just smacks her in the face. And it is clearly a woman. But then when he goes, when she hits the floor, it's clearly a bloke. And like, you know, he's just that good of a spy, Chris. You know, it's just, that's what it's telling us. And then you get this ridiculousness where, you know, you get Dr. Evil and he's trying to make an assassination attempt, isn't he? And it's like, well, of course, what kingpin of crime would actually do that? It would be, you know, some henchman or something. So I just thought it was fantastic, you know, and it opens up. You get the very obvious gags. And I think more to that first time of watching it where you don't quite know what's coming up. But when he's going through his list of belongings, you know, he's been unfrozen and you get the old Swedish penis enlarged gag in there. But Chris, it's the one where he says one item for danger powers, and I remember that first time watching it and I'm thinking, hang about, I know what's coming here. And so no, it says here danger powers, and then he cheekily sort of looks over at Vanessa and he's like, danger's my middle name. And it's just so Roger Moore. I just think it's fantastic, and I don't know what in this you think doesn't age well. The only thing is that you've obviously seen it before, so you know the kind of gags and stuff, but I think it's still exactly what it was in 97. It's still just that parody of those early Connery, and I would say more so the Roger Moore James Bond movies.
Roger Moore, 100%, 100%, because Roger Moore was just so suave, and he sort of parodied himself in them James Bond movies, didn't he? You know, you had Sean Connery was all steel. You know, he was a, you know, fucking hell, Dave, there was a big outrage about Sean Connery backhanding the women and stuff in some of the movies, which I totally understand. I totally get that. Them sort of things haven't aged well. But James Bond with Connery was very
you
stiff.
You understand the abuse, not you understand him giving him a backhand.
No, fucking hell, Dave. Yeah, the first one. Jesus Christ, yeah, yeah. You know, we're getting
the second one, the latter. The latter, you mean?
The latter, yeah, yeah. I get it. Yeah, not the... I get it. The whole reason why people would be outraged, it's totally unacceptable. But Roger Moore, for me personally, until Daniel Craig, Roger Moore was my favourite James Bond. I know a lot of them rave about Timothy Dalton. I went to see The Living Daylights at the cinema with the a-ha soundtrack and everything, and a-ha, Dave, soundtrack. But I never forget it. Locally to where I am now, the Curzon, I never forget watching that movie because it was the first James Bond I'd seen in the cinema. I'd love Roger Moore and Sean Connery and things like that. And Roger Moore's my favourite. I just loved his movies. They just hit with me better. Living Let Die, For Your Eyes Only, things like that. The Spy Who Loved Me. Just brilliant, brilliant movies. And the cars and everything, Moonraker, great.
Mm.
But this is Roger Moore. The what he's doing is a lot to do with like the Roger Moore stuff. Definitely, 100%. And there's a movie that we watched as a kid, and I know that you've probably never seen this, Dave. My sisters loved it. My mum got me, my brothers and sisters to watch. It's called Smashing Time. I don't. You've probably never seen this, but basically, it's two. I think it's Rita.
Sue.
Rita Sue and Bob Sue. Rita Custard, somewhere. These two women, anyway, they go to London, Carnaby Street, and they've never been. It's called Smashing Time. They're like Northern lasses. I think they're from Yorkshire or something. And they go and just spend this time in London. You know, they want to like go down where all the fashion is and everything. It's a proper like, almost like a chick flick, if that makes sense, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different one, but it's got that setting of like this movie. So when this came out, we were, Dave, Rita Tushingham and Lyndon Redgrave, it's like a bit of a comedy, all about swinging London and everything. But the aesthetic of it is exactly the same as what Mike Myers put together for this. So when it came out, I related to it because I'd had to watch this thing on Carnaby Street so many fucking times, this movie. My sisters used to recite it. My two sisters, Portia and Lois, who like they're the oldest out of the five sisters I've got. They're a few years young, about 5-6 years younger than me between them. But they would always quote that. Like, we're all there quoting fucking Lethal Weapon and Roger Murtaugh and, you know, all that sort of thing. And Eddie Murphy, they were quoting this.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, immunity. Yeah, my sisters were quoting this. Oh, yeah, you know, like Brenda and Yvonne, they were quoting. It's like, it was just stupid, Dave. It was absolutely stupid movie, just a real feel-good movie. But we sat there and watched it and watched it and watched it. So when I... Honestly, I know I just said it, but the aesthetics, the colour, the videography, it just was so comfortable. And having watched like The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Mission Impossible, all them things where the baddie is just so going to be like Blofeld out of James Bond, but just isn't, you know, so all that colour thing, it just made a lot of sense. You know, I always say I'm influenced by the 1970s a lot. I love that era, especially the American stuff. But this was stuff that we grew up with as kids. This is 20 years before... Maybe in 15, 20 years before, you know, us, but they were always on our TV. So there's a lot of stuff I can relate to and a lot of stuff, the musical stuff. You know, I love Singing in the Rain. I love things like that. I don't know what it is about this time. It just did not get me at all. And I didn't find myself amused by any of it. And I went into it so positive thinking, this is going to be great. And after about 20 minutes of thinking, I would text Dave and go, what is this shit? And I thought, and then I was thinking, Dave's going to be thinking, he's going to do a heel turn here and at the end go, this was amazing. You know, like just taking the piss because I was just so fucking bored of it, I think. I think that's probably what I'll say, and I'm going to get so much stick for this, Dave. And you know what I say? Fucking Jon Snow it. Bring it on, people. I'm ready for the abuse on social media.
Yeah, I've no idea where you're coming from or if you're just in a bad mood and grumpy when you were watching this. But I just thought, you know what's coming, but it's like, I guess, Chris, it's like I said with Dumb and Dumber. The more you watch these kind of movies, the different gags land better. You know, when you watch it the first time, you'll laugh at different things to when you watch it, say, the 10th time. And what I tell you, one of the things that's just occurred to me, Chris, is so obviously Austin Powers, it's all a big gag, isn't it? He's a man out of time. He was frozen in 1967. He was thawed out 30 years later in 1997. Chris, as we record this in 2021, that is 24 years after this film was released. So it's like, we are almost at Austin Powers levels, you know, from the time that this came out. I tell you, I mean, some things don't land perfectly for me. And I remember, you know, never particularly landed. But, like, you know, when he's talking to Vanessa and he's like, you know, should we shag now or should we shag later kind of thing. And then when he jumps up on the bed and he's like, do I make you horny, baby? That, for me, I remember at the time thinking it's not that funny. But, you know, you hear people quote that line. And apparently, to come up with this idea, he was actually just messing about with his wife and he put on this British, like, James Bond accent. And was just acting around, being a goof, and then she said, "Oh, you should write something about that." And that was the whole germ of the idea, Chris. But I mean, how can you not laugh or be amused by the whole reference? You talked about like Moonraker and stuff. I still think if you're going to sum up Roger Moore's tenure as James Bond, it's the end of Moonraker, where there's some, you know, the general or whatever. He's there, he's landed back in Earth, he's in the sea, and Roger Moore's like, just keeping the British end up, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
And draws the curtains.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that, you know, he needs to infiltrate Dr. Evil's, you know, band, you know, his whole organisation. And you've got number two there at the blackjack table. And he's like, introduces himself as Richie Cunningham, and he's saying, allow myself to introduce myself. and then number two's girlfriend sat there is like, Halotta vagina. You know, which is a complete, not even I wouldn't say a clever, but, you know, it's a direct line through to pussy galore, isn't it? Yeah. And I just think it's so blatant. It's such an in-joke. If you'd never seen any of the James Bond movies or had no love for them at all, I could understand you watching this and like not getting all those in-jokes. But again, for me personally, growing up with that stuff just makes that land so much better.
Well, and you usually do a bit of a sales pitch on me, Dave. I'm standing my ground on this. I just feel terrible. However, Dr. Evil is probably the most interesting character, because that one bit, and it did make me laugh, that's the one bit of the whole movie, is that one where they sat around the table, like I say, and he's like, I'm going to hold the world hostage for $1 million. And then they're like, no, the inflation, the dollar's fucking fighting.
They'll just laugh out loud.
Yeah, yeah, laugh out loud. And he's like, oh, right, $100 billion. So all that sort of thing. And his son as well, who's a dickhead, you know, Seth Green plays, and Ronnie Scott, he's a bit of a dick as well. He almost reminds me, when he came on, of the nephew of Lex Luthor in Superman 4. You know, that just oblivious to everything and just a bit of a dick sort of thing. So, yes, he, for me, Dr. Evil was more interesting than Austin Powers. And look, his teeth are terrible. It's all like a big play on the Austin Powers, like from the 60s, you know, and he thinks every woman wants him. The one bit in the whole movie that I've seen on a meme is so many, especially when it comes to my football team, Man United, is that fucking, when him and Liz Hurley are driving the electric thing to get away from Dr. Evil, and they get stuck and he's just hitting the wall. Now, that's been said so many times about how United have been the last 8 years, Dave. So I've had that tagged on me by so many of my rival fans and seen it online, like Man United trying to go forward and he's just hitting the wall and going backwards and stuff like that. So there's loads of things that are so perfect for this podcast, the VHS. That's what we wanted. We wanted pop culture references, didn't we? And I think this movie has probably as many, Dave, for right or wrong reasons, as say Back to the Future. I think Back to the Future for me is the one that, of every movie we've ever done, has more memes and pop culture references and dialogue than anyone. But this isn't far off, I don't think.
I think you're right about that. But again, I think, you know, Back to the Future was a proper original, wasn't it? Original story. I know people had done time travel and everything before, but it did feel original. You couldn't go back and say, oh, that's just copying off something else. Whereas this one is just, it's gag after gag. It's just relentless. And so many memeable and quotable moments in it. And you say about Dr. Evil, he is funny. He is a great character. And I love his old little monologue, because he's trying to break through with his son. He's got his this difficult relationship, and Scott's just like, where were you? And it was like, well, I was frozen, kind of thing. But it's when he's speaking about how he grew up, and you got Carrie Fisher. I forgot she was in there as well. And I've got the quote here. It says, at the age of 14, a Zoroastrian named Vilma ritualistically shaped my testicles. There really is nothing like a shorn scrotum. It's breathtaking. I suggest you try it. Just like, it's so stupid. But it's like this group hug. Let's share our feelings. And you can imagine people sat in that circle like, yeah, I didn't need to know that.
You know what though, Dave? We talked about this one. We've done movies. And like, I remember that Surf Nazis Must Die we did. And
yeah.
What I could never get my head around, and as a kid, I never questioned it. I never, ever questioned it. All the martial arts stuff is, why would somebody want to join this crime gang who, say, they're robbing, you know, like Franco in, you know, I'm going to say, No Shit, No Surrender Free. You've got all these baddies who are like century guys with guns, they're minding the base and all this. They're literally, if you shared that money between them, they'd be lucky to get about fucking 30 grand each, but they've got this career. Criminal, aren't you? Surf Nazis Must Die. They're all in that bar. They're earning no money whatsoever. So they, I don't know where they live, what they're doing, but they, in the movies, you just never question these people being part of like this crime organization. And when you divvy up the Reddits, it never makes sense. 100 billion does, like, you know, in this, but just what I mean, like in real life, like I know people, I'm sure you do, or know of people who have, you know, been into sort of like street gangs and things like that. But it's not like these movies where they're all in someone's house and you've got three people outside, sentry walking around it to make sure that they're okay. It's, you know, it, all in films, and this is a piss take completely, and I get it, like James Bond and that, that, you know, Live and Let Die, that guy's got this army of people around him, hasn't he? It's like, who's paying them? Is he earning that much money that these people can do that? But you just don't question it. And I do think on this, it does take the piss out of that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense. There is pluses on it, I will say, and I may be softening now you're talking to me, Dave. But
again, though, you know, you say about all the henchmen. I think what this does brilliantly as well is it definitely talks to that, because you have one of the henchmen, just a random bloke who's there in a uniform, you know, working on Dr. Evil's secret lair, and then he gets killed by the ill-tempered Seabass. And then Austin's making all the gags, and, you know, he's talking about he couldn't get ahead in life or something like that. But anyway, it's the bit where they cut away and you get, is it Rob Lowe?
Yeah, Rob Lowe,
He's just there at the bar, isn't he? He's like, and they're waiting. They're just like Hooters or something, and waiting for John Smith to turn up, you know, because he's a great stand-up guy. He's got a family and everything. But apparently he's been killed off. I think it's brilliant the way they just call out the fact that these people in the James Bond movies just got killed off randomly. They were like the Star Trek red shirts. You know, they just, no one cared about them. They were just fodder to be killed. And it calls it out. It's like, well, this person must have a life. You know, he's probably got friends. And I don't think I'd seen that before. You know, and obviously it's played for laughs, but I don't think I'd seen anyone really call out that before this movie.
No, and you know what, though, as well, Dave? I'm just reading some of the stuff there. So I didn't mean, like, Jim Carrey was supposed to play Dr. Evil. Mike Myers had no interest.
That's why he ended up playing both roles, wasn't it?
Yeah, which is clever, because he was doing, like, Liar, Liar. Now, that's a good movie, Dave, Liar, Liar. I tell you, it is a good movie. We should do Jim Carrey at some point. We've got to do The Truman Show. I love that film.
That was good, wasn't it? Yeah, and that was almost like one of his transition roles, because I'd only seen him in like pure comedy roles up until The Truman Show, but that was really good. And which is the one? Was it The Man on the Moon? That he did about Andy Kaufman.
Kaufman and Jerry the King Lawler. There's the big thing where they had this big fight and people on a talk show, and I think it was actually a setup for the rest. Andy Kaufman basically said to him, was he in Taxi in that? And he said to him, just leather me, basically. So Jerry Lawler slaps him about. They had a wrestling match in that, but it was all a work, Dave. But he said to him, just hurt me properly. But people really bought into that. Yeah, he was a proper innovative Andy Kaufman, definitely.
Yeah, but Jim Carrey, like, I think he he's underrated. Like in that time in the kind of mid to late 90s, he was on fire, wasn't he? But just being his goofy self. And he was a bit Marmite. I think a lot of people hated him. But I thought his stuff there, Dumb and Dumber, Liar Liar, like you say, Ace Ventura movies. I loved all of that stuff. And he was just being, Jim Carrey. There's no one like him really before. But yeah, I do think he showed his acting chops like quite a lot after that.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. A very under a cable guy as well. Really interesting movies.
Oh, we need to do that one, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I've only seen that once, you know, as well. Like many years ago, Matthew Broderick's in that, isn't he? So
Yeah.
I'd be interested in that one day. We'll have to put them on the schedule at some point. But anyway, you're right. I think there's stuff in this that just didn't hit this time. But I can appreciate it. Look, it's not the worst movie I've ever seen. It's not. I just did not enjoy it at all. And I'd like you say, maybe we need to go back and watch it. I don't think the sequels are much cop. I remember seeing that. I might have seen the second one in the cinema, but the third one's just did not like it at all. Because Mini-Me's not in this one, is he? It's the second one he gets introduced. I got that because it's all about Scotty's son in this one.
Yeah.
Vern going, he's not with us now, unfortunately, Vern. But he was iconic as well. Another iconic character, Dave, that over the years, everyone knows who Mini-Me is. He lived a career from this movie, didn't he? You know, so.
I think the problem with the sequels is it was all still the same joke, largely. But I think there's still some good things in there as well.
Yeah.
I think the third one was Gold Member, wasn't it? But the breakout character in the second one was Fat Bastard, wasn't it?
Fucking hell. He plays
it in my Scottish belly. Yeah.
That's another one again. Everyone knows who it is, don't they?
Yeah.
Big ginger head, like sumo wrestler guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. And you've got Heather Graham there, haven't you? I just remember having to insert like a tracking device into his cheeks, and he's like, whoa, getting frisky. But anyway, Chris, we'll stick on the first one because I do think the sequels like were quite funny as well, but this one was the original. This one was kind of, you know, this set the whole world, and you know, I think there's been a few parodies from this, you know, or it kind of gave people different ideas on parody and stuff. But I don't know. I like I say, I don't quite know what it was you didn't find funny about it. I thought the fembots and everything, I thought the way that all kind of played out, and it was all very 60s. Chris, the music as well. I had the album of this one. I think the music in this is great.
Yeah, I'll give you that. The musical score is good. Very good. And we know this, Dave, the theme. I know it's not an original, it's a theme from the 60s, but it worked, didn't it? The theme, everyone knows the Austin Powers theme. Do you know what I mean? This is a different, it's not an original music piece. However, you play that music at the start, everyone goes, oh, it's Austin Powers, that. I've even seen it at like football matches. I've seen it at darts matches. You know, people have come in. It is used in the right way and as people who are fans of the movie. And I've got no problem with that. I absolutely got nothing. I mean, we see a bit of Vegas, Dave, downtown Vegas.
Exactly. How can we have Vegas like featured in a movie and you hate it?
I don't like it. I know. I like that bit. I like the Vegas because he's portraying downtown, old school Vegas. So really, really clever. And I'm saying that, Dave, as I'm touching my Las Vegas sleeve, you know, my half finished sleeve on my arm there. So that'll always be close to me with the Vegas. So if anything nostalgic like that, I absolutely lap it up. Not bad at all. I think I'll tell you who's a bad actress, Dave, and Elizabeth Hurley. Look, she's stunning. I remember, did you ever see Passenger 57 with Wesley Snipes?
You know what? I think I have, but it's one of those that I've just seen once, and I think I was like half asleep.
So that's, you know what? That could be on my, I used to love that. You had that on VHS, yeah, because she's the air hostess in it, and she's stunning. It's the first time I'd ever come across her.
Pick it,
yeah. About a couple of years before this, around about 93, 94, maybe around Demolition Man. And I love that movie, Dave. Really, really good movie. Very Con Air essence, you know, that's what it was before Con Air, but a great movie.
You know, when we speak about these movies, it's like, oh, fucking hell, there's just so many. I just want to do that. I want to do Con Air. You know, we haven't done something like Air Force One, have we? Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah, it's a good movie. So,
yeah. Oh, there's too many, Chris. We'll be doing this well beyond the 30-year mark. I mean, 30 years from Austin Powers will be 2027. We'll still be going through all these great movies by then, I reckon.
Dave, and I'll still be saying, Dave, I've got another Lauren Avadon movie. Yeah. You'll be like, fuck off. This is the 30th fucking movie we've ever done, you know, but... No,
this
92?
Is a Cynthia Rothrock masterpiece.
Dave, even I can't fucking say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know, that is really a stretch. Oh, I'll tell you what, Chris, I showed Max Bloodsport. I thought, right, fair enough, we'd finished kickboxing. So I brought him back, thought we had a bit of pizza, introduced him to kickboxing, Bloodsport, and he loved it. Of course. And you know what? That is for me, I think, it's either that or No Retreat, No Surrender, the original that I just absolutely love. Doesn't get any worse for me.
No, it doesn't. What me, you, Max, there's a few of us on that. We've all just got the Blu-ray.
John Hammond, yeah.
John Hammond, we've all got it. It doesn't seem any different. It doesn't seem like the quality's any different.
No, but... no Blu-ray extras at all.
No.
They fucking saw us come in, didn't they?
Yeah, big time. But if there is, they've got to do the second and third day. My life will be just complete if they
Blu-ray. I don't think they do, but... Look, they basically put Van Damme on the cover as if like he's the major character in it.
I know.
Fucking Jason Stillwell's like, I was the main guy in that, surely.
Yeah, you bastards. I tell you what, Dave.
RJ, Scott, you know, they're not on it.
Dave, I'm going to go on record right now and say, when it's my next pick, and I don't know when it is, it'd be a few weeks away, I've already got my movie. I'm happy to announce it, Dave. I've got it. It's a Wesley Snipes movie. It's one of my favourite movies of all time. We're doing White Men Can't Jump. I love that movie.
With Woody Harrelson as well.
I fucking love... That was a film we watched over and over. I've got it on... Video on DVD, a collector's day. I love that movie. And it's one, every time we do a pick and it'll be a stupid one, I always look over my collection and go, you dickhead. So I'm announcing that right now, Dave. So anybody listening, in a few weeks, it's my pick. That's what we're doing, 100%.
Nice. I'll be up for that. I'll be up for that, definitely. I think that's another one. I've watched it, but I don't really remember much about it, to be honest. It wasn't one of those that I watched over and over.
There was a couple of bits, Dave. I mean, his girlfriend's got probably, Rosie Perez has probably got the most annoying fucking voice. Billy, oh, will you take the piss out of that even now? Oh, but dear. Dave, she does have a couple of rather exposing things that I may have frozen and watched a couple of times over.
Well, I look forward to it, Chris. Getting back to Austin Powers, Chris, here's another reason you should not throw this under the bus. But Daniel Craig himself, the current Mr. Bond, and like we said, I'll be quite looking forward to watching the latest James Bond movie, and now it's out. He said basically Austin Powers screwed up the whole James Bond franchise. And the producers were worried. They were like, how can we continue this, you know, after Austin Powers? And so that forced them, you know, down this route of the Daniel Craig era of James Bond, where you've got, I mean, it was Casino Royale, wasn't it? That set the tone. And straight away, that was almost an anti-parody of the Austin Powers sort of whole franchise, you know, when you got the whole introduction to the character, when they say to James Bond, you know, do you want it? How do you want your martinis? Like, do I look like a give a damn? You know, it's almost like a reaction to those early movies and Austin Powers. So I think Daniel Craig's your favourite James Bond, isn't he?
Oh, by a mile. By a mile, yeah. Dave. Oh, I fucking love him. Absolutely
and,
love Daniel
And they
Craig.
Had to, after Austin Powers, they had to update it because of that. And I think we've got a better product for it. I remember even before Austin Powers, people were talking about him being outdated, misogynistic, and like it just doesn't work for the time. And that was in the 90s before Austin Powers. So yeah, I think again, drawing a straight line from Austin Powers through to post Casino Royale James Bond is another tick for me, Chris. Another plus point.
Well, Dave, I'm not going to do this to you for much longer. And you're probably going to hate me at this point, Dave. But do you know what I'm going to do, Dave? I'm going to do my Dr. Evil voice. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
So we've been running for 35,
you've fucking been having me on, haven't you?
Exactly, Mr. Horrocks. I absolutely loved it.
See you next Tuesday. You absolute toss, man.
$1 billion. Even so, we saw that when I was texting you, I was thinking he's going to see through it. And you went with it and I thought, you know what? I'm going to keep in my name. This is a great movie. A fucking great movie. I couldn't do it to you. I was going to do it at the end and I thought, you probably just turned the fucking podcast off and not speak to me. But no, no, just,
I know what my brain's like. I'm like literally trying to figure out. It's like, I don't get it. I thought you'd love this.
The ultimate heel turn, Dave. I texted you and go, this is fucking shit. And you're like, you are fucking crazy. What are you talking about? No, Dave, it's a great movie and I absolutely loved this.
I have to say to you, Mr. Phelps, hook, line and fucking sinker, you've got me there.
I couldn't listen to you fucking trying to sell it to me because I really enjoyed it. I'm sorry, Dave.
Oh, dear me. Like I say, I was just trying to rationalize it in my brain. I'm like, is it because of this? Honestly, going into this, I thought it might age worse than it did, but I watched it.
No, it's good.
I don't think it did. I think it just, it all held up. And because I guess it is playing off against being in those modern times. I mean, again, it's a bit weird now, isn't it? Because modern day is 24 years ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
But you remember it at the time.
What a wanker I am, out of Dave, I know. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Anybody Dr. listening?
Evil.
Everyone was sharpening the claws, ready to come and get me and everything. I know Glynn's just reviewed it really highly, Dave, on his review page and that. So sorry, Glynn. Right, everyone was ready to get me, Dave, but no. The whole time we've been having you at it, Dave, even the last couple of weeks, I've been dying to do this review. I'm just having to fucking nail me. I couldn't do it to you. I thought, do I leave it till the end? I probably should have done, but honestly, I really enjoyed it. It's a great movie. The music, everything. And you're right, all the stuff to James Bond, Dave. I'm being truthful now. I'm still sticking by my Cannonball Run 2 review, by the way, Dave. None of the other reviews I've ever done have been fake. They are what I think, good or bad. Yeah, this is a great movie. And I think, just for the pure, that's why I was killing myself going, yeah, there's loads of good pop culture references, really. Yeah. And I'm thinking, this isn't working, Chris. You're going to have to tell him. So, and that's why we took you off on a tangent, Dave, about other movies. I'm thinking, how do I bring it back? He's going to not fucking believe a word I'm saying. But anyway, no, 100% I enjoyed this movie. And you're so right. Everything you've said, the stupidest, like he's, I can speak proper now. He's fucking, his hair, everything. He's got a bush down there. All that's fucking nonsense.
Big Tom Jones chest.
Yeah, Tom Jones. No, you're right. Honestly, Dr. Evil's my favourite character, though. I just think Mike Myers is brilliant as him. So, so good. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, mate. I'm really fucking done.
No, it's all right. You got me good style there. Chris, I was going to say, not to take the tone down a little bit. Again, I thought it was a good parody for the time. So you had Random Task, didn't you?
Yeah.
So direct parody from Odd Job from the James Bond. Was that Moonraker? I'm trying to think. Odd Job was that?
No, Goldfinger. It was one of the first ones. Yeah, Goldfinger with the hat and everything. Yeah, I mean, the laser, Dave. Sean Connery nearly took his fucking wedding tackle out,
didn't he? Jewels off. Yeah. But, I mean, he's a direct take-off Blofeld, isn't he? Oh, with the 100%. Old Mr. Bigglesworth cat and everything. But the actor who played Random Task, Joe's son, is serving lifetime prison sentence. I shouldn't really laugh there because he's in there for the torture of a 19-year-old woman in 1990.
Oh, fucking hell.
So he's a proper, like, fucking shitbag, really.
That's terrible, isn't it? So I take it he was retro tried then because he was in thing, you know, he was a kickboxer in that as well.
Yeah, so he went uncaptured until 2008 and a DNA match linked him to the crime.
Fucking hell, that's terrible. They wouldn't have known that anyway, would they? But my word, that's terrible. But yeah, he is just an odd job ripoff. Exactly, they've taken every James Bond reference they could get, haven't they? Like you say, Roger Moore to a T, Dave. Absolutely just his voice, everything. Mike Myers is great. The dance scene at the start, I can speak about this properly, is really good. It's just stupid.
You need to fill me in on all of the bits that you've had.
Yeah, I do think Liz Hurley's a bit wooden in it, but she's Liz Hurley Day. She's stunning.
She's not then there for her thespian acting, is she?
No, she's not. But no, honestly, the whole thing just worked. I think Scott's a little shit, and I think Seth Green plays him really, really well.
Yeah. I tell you, just... I mean, while we're jumping back a bit, one of the scenes or one of the little moments that makes me laugh in a disproportionate way, it's like, all right, it's kind of funny, but it just really tickles me, is when he's in the jacuzzi with Helotta Vagina and, you know, he basically says how relaxed he is, and then he just farts. And she's like, oh, how dare you break wind before me? And he says, I didn't realise it was your turn. So when she sort of dives on top of him, and his foot just pops out of the jacuzzi, and it's like flinching, it's twitching. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a spot, all right. And it's just a physical comedy of Mike Myers. And it just, it's not even that funny. I know it's not, but I guess it's a bit like you with Cannonball Run 2. You know it's not that funny, but it just tickles you.
Yeah, and it works, doesn't it? The comedy works. It does, Dave. Look, the comedy works in this. It's funny. Everything he does is so well thought out. And I just think his delivery. I do stand by what I said about the second and second. The second one's good. The third one I thought was pretty poor, but I have seen all of them. I remember like really looking forward to the sequel and obviously the third one. So no, I think he did the right thing by never making any more. Three was just about enough. Well, probably two would have been the peak for me. But look, Dave, it was a highly successful movie. I know box office wise, it didn't make loads. It made only 67 million, but I'm sure VHS and DVD sales and merchandise
100%.
they would have made a shitload over the years, a shitload. So Mike Myers, very, very clever guy, really clever. And I know this talk about him bringing him back, but I don't think you need to. He must be nearly 60 now, Mike Myers.
Yeah, I don't think they need to do that. I think, like I say, it's bordering 30 years since the original came out, but that's kind of what everyone's doing at the minute, isn't it? I think ever since Cobra Kai, people are thinking, oh yeah, let's do a new one. We've got a new Matrix coming out at the end of this year, Chris.
Oh, can't wait for that.
We've got Scream 5 coming out. I think that's next year, isn't it? So a lot of these things from the 90s, sort of, or 80s and 90s, popping back up again.
There's only one movie, Dave. There's only one buddy cop movie.
Are we talking about real one like 1987 Lethal Weapon, or are we talking about No Retreat, No Surrender 3 from 1990? Yeah.
The latter, Dave. Let me get my latters right. The latter, Keith Fatale, Lauren Avadon, in an old people's home, Dave. Some guy comes in, Franco. He's in a wheelchair. He's still got his fucking knives and stuff. He tries to take over and steal, you know, Lauren Avadon's girlfriend.
Who's his about medication.
80. Medication. That's it. Vitali comes out of retirement. They get the same body double, the Asian guy who played everybody in the movie, Dave, no matter how tall or small they were. Honestly, gold, Dave. Absolute. What can we call it? Call it No Retreat,
No Surrender 16. I don't know how many did they actually make, because they keep swapping around the titles, don't they? You know
Karate
what?
Tiger 84.
Keith Vitale could be like the Christopher Lloyd character out of Nobody.
That's true.
You know, he's there in the old people's home. He's just like, oh, he's just a harmless old man. No, he's a fucking killing machine.
Now that is a film. Oh, Dave, yeah. I feel like a right
I must admit, I would watch it.
Dave, you know I'll be there straight away. Look, I've completely sabotaged the podcast today, but I had to go with it, Dave. I'm sorry. It was one of them things as a kid, you know, when you say you lie and then it's like, well, why didn't you tell me at the start? And it snowballs into something just ridiculous. And you sat there with your hands in your pockets looking down at the floor when you're getting an absolute fucking roasting. Yeah, I just had to go with it. Once I've sent the text out... I honestly thought you'd challenge me more, and I think you were just like, Chris, I don't... Like you said, there's no metric to how I score things. So.
No, I think probably... I think, yeah, I guess you'd already calibrated my mind to think, oh, you're probably going to shit on this one with that text message. And obviously, yeah. I can't see your face or anything. I can't see a little smirk or a giveaway telltale sign. Yeah, and obviously, you can mute yourself on here. So, yeah, proper done me there. Now, Chris, are there any other points that you want to raise before we get into our final review?
No, Dave, I've exhausted my whole heel turn today. So, no, I've loved it.
Awesome. Now, let's get into our final review then. Now, Chris, go on then. You've spent half the podcast...
Not where he's going to go.
Yeah, you've spent half the podcast shitting on it. Then there's the heel turn. So I'm genuinely... I'll hazard a guess at where it will go, but I don't actually know. So give us your final thoughts.
No, Dave, honestly, it's a great movie. It really is. It's so stupid and ridiculous and plays on all them movies that we grew up with as kids, TV shows, everything I was into as a kid from that era. It just works, and it plays on the fact that the hero would literally just get laid by just looking at any girl. It was ridiculous. You know, the whole way Mike Myers wrote it, put it together... Excellent, absolutely excellent movie. So, Dave, it's got to go to the top. It's Cloud City for me all day long. Even with the heel turn and everything, it is fantastic. So, I think it's aged really well because, and I think I always say this, when you have a movie that's set, say, in the 80s and it's set in 85 when it was filmed or whatever,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them don't age very well. Back to the Future, just we did Back to the Future 3 and I've watched the other two as well, the back end of it, like I promised I would. It ages so well because it's set in different timelines. You don't need the latest technology. It doesn't matter. They tried to go in forward in the second one. So it works really well. I always find that the movies that go back in time or have a date or some spin on it, like they do here where it's supposed to be modern times and in the 90s and that, it just works. And I think everything about it is just stupid. It's almost, it's just like a complete parody of just nonsense, but it's still a great movie. So yeah, so there you go, Dave. That's my honest opinion on that one. What about yourself?
Now, this one gets 7 on IMDb, so that for us, that will put us around Pleasantville. But as I said at the start, I think this movie and this parody was made for me. It was made for people like me who grew up with those early James Bond movies, Sean Connery and more so Roger Moore. And it just hits the mark so perfectly. There's so many in-jokes. And if you haven't had that same upbringing with those movies, I don't think the jokes land as well. So I can kind of get why this would objectively be, you know, a kind of Pleasantville sort of film. For me, though, it's Cloud City all day long. I just think the amount of times that I was just chuckling along to this one, it's such a feel-good movie, the jokes, the music, the fact that it's just relentlessly throwing out gags and physical comedy as well. I just absolutely loved it. And yeah, I will go back and watch the sequels as well, but the fact that they keep replaying the same joke is disappointing, but you know, that's kind of what the franchise is, I guess. But yeah, top marks for me, this one.
Brilliant. At least yours was a fair and honest review, Dave. No, honestly, brilliant.
I wonder, of our regular listeners, how many people like me fell for it completely and how many people are just saying, nah, he's fucking having me on there. Dave on.
Well, how many people turned off and went, fucking Chris again, here we go.
He's going yet another beloved movie of mine. He's shitting all over. Yeah. I can't listen to this.
I still have it, Dave. I've still got it in the locker. But no, honestly, brilliant. Now, Dave, next week's review was by my good friend and our good friend, Mr. Matt Bates, fellow Las Vegas vlogger. You know, he had such a love of the Vegas lights like me. He's such a good guy. A Black Country vlogger. He's actually got a podcast as well, so get over there.
I saw that,
he's just launched it. He's in its infancy, but, you know, he's such a good guy, Matt. He's one of our patrons as well, so big thanks to Matt for supporting us. But, Dave, he has gone with a movie I'd never seen before, but I'm interested in what people think. It is available on YouTube, so if you want to actually watch it before we do the review, it's called The Club, and it's from 1980, and it's about an Australian rules football team. So Go on to YouTube. It's on there, guys. And the full movie is there unedited. So let's get into our trailer, Dave.
130,000, we've just heard. And look at them go.
Fitzroy now with the ball back into attack. Down towards their centre.
In this club, nobody plays by the rules.
You know them times when you're half a yard behind your man?
Sign here on the last page, Jeff.
He's going for the ball. Now, there's no way in the world you're going to stop him, right?
It's not enough.
Just as he leaves the ground.
Just sign the thing, Jeff. Look, it's as good as you.
Not until I get more money.
How much more money?
Get your thumb.
10,000.
I'll pay it personally.
Ram it up his bum. Oh, it works every time.
I won't be told how to do my job by the owner of some meat pie factory who's never played a game of football in his life.
What's the meaning of taking Jeff Hurdle?
What's the meaning of you telling me how to run the game?
Do you know what I've been thinking? Let's stop trying to appease the bastard and sack him.
They say he was a great player.
Oh, yes, and my aunt makes great scones. It doesn't mean she should run a cake factory. Committee will stick by me to a man.
Want a bet?
Stake my life on it.
Then you're a dead man.
That's gonna be your last year anyway, smartass. We're getting ourselves a real coach around here next year, thank Christ, so stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Oh, you roll your own, do you?
You're in the big league now, Jeff, and you're scared. Scared you're not half as good a footballer as you bloody thought you were.
All right. If you really want to know what's going on, is that I'm sick to death of football and I couldn't care less whether I never play another game in my life. It's a load of macho, competitive bullshit. Football shits me.
Look, if I'm going out there to risk a fractured skull or a ruptured spleen for the amusement of a pack of overweight drunks in the grandstand bar, then I want to get paid for it.
Oh, so that's what you think of your supporters, eh?
Well, what gives you the right to sit in judgment on me, you fat turd? Don't get back to the fight factory! You get back to the fight factory!
Loyalty to any one individual is a luxury we can't afford in a business with a multi-million dollar turnover.
Look, Gloria, I'm going to tell you something in the strictest confidence. You can afford to be generous to Ted, because you're not going to be around here much longer.
What's he done?
Can't tell you anything, except it's dynamite.
Then about the game. Collingwood playing poorly at the moment.
Makers of Breaker Morant now bring you a story of games people play.
It's true, isn't it, Jerry?
No.
They're well on top of Collingwood.
Now, as you say, Chris, free there on YouTube, like all the great classics. So I've honestly never seen or heard of this one. So I am intrigued. I have looked at the trailer, but it doesn't look the best, but who knows? Who knows? Could be a bit of an untapped gem here. I feel, Chris, like we've set a bit of a precedent where people like to throw us under the bus a little bit with these movies, so I don't quite know whether this is intended to be a great stand-up movie or it's just going to be one where, like, what the fuck is this? Oh dear. But Chris, how can everyone get in contact with us?
Well, if you want to support the show, guys, like Matt has and everyone else, we really appreciate it. If you want to go to Patreon, patreon.com, the VHS Strikes Back. There are various tiers on there, and come and join the community if you want to support. We really appreciate it. If you do want to get involved in the conversation, get on social media at VHS Strikes Back. If you want to email us, the VHS Strikes Back at gmail.com. I haven't said it for a few weeks, but if you do get a chance, please get onto your podcast catching app, guys, and review the show. It helps me and Dave get up there in some of them charts. You know, we have been number one in some of the biggest countries in the world, Papua New Guinea, Barbados, places like that. So if you do want to, you know, send your reviews, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, we really, really appreciate them. We'll read about as well, good or bad. We do absolutely love any reviews we get. So Dave, Patreon roll call of honour for today. So we've got Matt, as we mentioned before. We've got Heath, Haley, Dylan, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green. We've got Dan, Jax, Math, Blake, John Hammond, Brent from the Cinema Chat podcast, and the wonderful Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you, guys. And also, Tony has done his latest podcast on the Comics in Motion, our other podcast with Blake Biles, Dave, as well. And there's a great intro there from Blake. I'd never realised, Dave, and all the time I've been speaking to Blake, and I know he's probably told me and I'm useless, but Blake actually lives in the UK and he's from New Zealand, so we're definitely going to have to get some sort of get-together. Blake's mentioned it, and he, Dave, on Discord.
So
we need to do something, guys. We will, now that things have opened up, me and Dave are going to try and get our heads together and maybe try and do a meet-up. That'd be a good evening or something, Dave. That'd be interesting.
It would be good. I mean, I don't want to put a downer on it, but I'm sort of looking over at the kind of Christmas period, Chris. People keep talking about another fucking lockdown, and I'm like, nope, I'm just not going to look at it. So, yep. But people are talking about it. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I don't know how realistic it is to schedules, because something like that, we'd have to plan out into the future, won't we? But I reckon what we need to do, Chris, partially because for two months we were doing bloody Love Island, weren't we? So yeah. 6 days a week. So I think we need to at some point schedule like a watch along. I think, was it Friday or Saturday? I'll have to go back and look at the posts, but I'd said which days work best for everyone, and I'm sure it was either Friday or Saturday. So for one of these, actually, you know what? The club would probably make sense. Yes. Free there on YouTube. Do a bit of a watch along with that. Should we do that? Patreon watch along.
Let's do that. That'd be great, because me and you just we all have a good laugh with stuff like that. So that'd be great.
Cool. Let's do it.
Well, Dave, we're at the end of the show, so I'm going to lead over to you. I'm pretty certain I know what you're going to send us out with, but what have you got for us today, my friend?
Well, I'm not going to finish. It'd be too easy to finish with a quote, wouldn't it, Chris? Because there's so many Austin Powers quotes, and they've honestly been done to death. Maybe not for the last 24 years, but certainly the 10 years after this movie, everyone was saying it. So I'll just finish it with a rather dull and mundane, thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
Mrs. Will ya make me tea? Make love to me. Put on the telly. To the BBC. To the BBC. Yeah, yeah, yeah. BBC One. Mrs. Will ya make me tea, make love to me, put on the telly, to the BBC, to the BBC.
What are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ah! Ah! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
Right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't enough. Come on.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe
you're
stupid.
You're
crazy. I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months. Come on.
I must break you.
Hi there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Chris, what we're going to look at this week.
Well, Dave, we are going back to 1997, and this was picked by our good friend, Mr. Matt Bates, fellow Las Vegas vlogger and one of our Patreons.
It wasn't. It was picked by me.
Okay, let me do that all again.
Matt Bates was... He picked the club.
Yeah, he did. Fucking hell, I'm gone on it. Talking about a minute ago, right? Let me do that again.
Yeah, that's all right. I might take this and put it in the outro, though.
Okay.